That's right, folks, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios. Hey, guys, how you living? You doing well? Good, glad to hear that. So, in this episode, I did a little something special, and I went deep diving into my own problems and gave you guys a little look inside my life in a way that I normally don't do that. I talked about something I'm very embarrassed about and something that I'm vulnerable about in a way. Like, I said some things about myself that I usually try to hide, and I usually try to, like, you know, I don't want a lot of people to, like, really know about, and I couldn't help it. I just kind of went into talking about some habits that I've gotten into lately that I'm not very proud of, and in ways that I'm just trying to correct those habits. And steps that I've taken to you know, overcome these habits and things. So don't want to give you too much more of a spoiler. It's like 4:45 in the morning right now, and I started recording this podcast a little late. So, but anyway, I just started, yeah, like I said, I came clean about some things that I've been struggling with lately, just publicly, so that I can start being progressive about doing something about these things. So, I also, at the end of this episode, and by the end, I mean like about halfway through, I switched the gears to talking about the music and the album I'm going to be releasing soon, and I played a couple of new tracks that I recorded today. At the end, I think I played three of the new tracks that I've recorded and a couple of very personal family tunes. And it's just a very personal episode about some things that I've been going through lately, and just, you know, just decisions that I've been making with, you know, things in my life lately that I'm just not proud of. And I aired it all out. I threw myself under the bus in this one. I threw myself under the bus without any consideration of my feelings at all. So, you know, to your benefit, you guys get to hear all of my fucking dirty laundry and shit. But anyway, please go to mistuffpodcast.com and in the About Music section, there are links to all of the downloads that are available right now, the singles that I've released. There are links there in the About Music section, and there are also there's blog entries that I've been kind of lax on releasing and lax on updating. So read my old blog entries if you've never read them before. There's a really good one in there by Jackie Robinson. You can tell the things that I really appreciate and love and can go on for hours about, because the one about baseball is like the longest one. So anyway, please go do that. Go subscribe to Couch on Fire podcast. I will be on an episode of Couch on Fire podcast. It's going to be dropping next Tuesday. Go subscribe to at Couch on Fire on Twitter. You can, in the pinned tweet, you can see all the places where they're available for download, and subscribe to them on Apple Podcasts and all the places where podcasts are available. House or Couch on Fire. Couch on Fire podcast. Check those out. But I'm running into my content. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get to it. MIStuffPodcast.com, ScrewballWhiskey.com, episode number something. Who cares? Enjoy. Hey, guys. Sorry I have been kind of MIA in the last couple of days. It has indeed been an interesting few days for me. I had a lot of misplaced energy over the last couple of days. Because, oh Lord, well, one, this chair is squeaking its fucking ass off. Forgive my language, but Jesus, this chair. Maybe it's just me being fat, but we're working on that and we'll get to that. So, Monday I had a gig at, doesn't matter. And it ended up not happening because of a situation that's out of everybody's hands. There's nothing that can be done about it. But I knew about it and knew, like, so it saved me the trip. Then on Tuesday, I had a gig at another spot we won't talk about. And I showed up to said gig, and somebody else was there already playing and already set up and going. And they was like, yeah, well, I think we're here from 8 to 11. And I was like, I think I'm 9 to 12. And I was like, I need to make a phone call. And then I realized I might have come across to them as sort of a dick. But just like every other time, I realized this after I've already left. And I just don't think, okay, these people don't know who I am. So maybe I just take for granted that that usually people just know me. Sorry, shit. A giant apple burp off of a small apple. But yeah, I just take for granted that people, not everybody knows me, and I just expect everybody to know me because everywhere I go, usually everybody knows me. And I was like, huh? They were like, oh, I'm really sorry. I hate that you drove all this way. And I was like, no, it's not your fault at all. It was actually, you know, it was my fault. I should have, you know, done some more checking up. And but yeah, I was like, I should have done more. Should have done a better job of like just double checking with everything. But it doesn't matter. So I lost two gigs this week off the bat, and I was sort of expecting those, but it's fine. I did, you know, get my rent and shit caught up for this month. Right at the last minute. And the only thing that sucks is I still owe out, like, I owe a couple of band gigs and my agent's cut and stuff like that, which I was sort of banking on getting those two, excuse me, I was sort of banking on those two gigs to help me out with that. But it's fine. Just it'll have to push back getting those payments made a couple of days, which is basically what an adult is just pushing back making payments. For most of the time, robbing Peter to pay Paul. But anyway, I had a lot of misplaced energy. By that, I mean that I had a lot of energy prepared for a gig that I didn't get to play. So I ended up Monday. I had a meeting that I had to go to, and I did that Monday and took it kind of easy, but yesterday what did I do yesterday? I did something kind of important yesterday. Oh, I paid rent. I paid rent yesterday, and then I drove. Yeah, I paid rent yesterday, and then I drove to. Oh, I know what I did. Yep, paid rent, and I drove to North Myrtle Beach, which is about 35 to 40 minutes, and drove that length of time to realize that I wasn't going to be playing, so I basically drove, and I paid for parking as well. I paid $10 to park, and once I realized that I wasn't going to be playing the gig, I was like, well, shit, my buddy Brian Rossler, who's been on the podcast recently, is playing right across the street here, so I'll just go hang out with Brian for a minute and grab some wings to go. It was National Wing Day. Not like that matters. I would have probably gotten wings anyway. But I went over and I sat with Brian, sat and listened to Brian play like three or four songs, and he did this killer version of Shout by Tears for Fears. It was fucking great. He plays in this open tuning, which is so much different, and he explains it on the episode of the podcast he was on recently, and he does get a different sound out of guitar, out of an acoustic, that most people do because of his open tuning, and his chords, like his playing an open chord is just a strum, and him playing his minors and other chords, like his 4/5s and 6 minors are so different. And I know that means a lot to you guys. But anyway, I got to hang out with Brian for a second. And by hang out, I mean listen to him play for just a minute. And then I got my wings to go, and I headed home. And I came home housed two orders of wings because I'm a giant. And I had this thing that I do. I don't know how many of you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, but if you have been listening for a while, and I mean like by hundreds of episodes, I don't know how many, and I'm sure there's a few who have heard all of the episodes, who are caught up, and I know there's a couple out there. So for those people, sorry, I gotta get this out of my throat. This fucking chair, God bless America. Anyway, so I told you guys on episodes, I'm going to pull out a rabbit out of a hat here and say episode number 16. I think I'm going to episode number 16, which if I remember correctly, I used to have problems when I was going live on mobile. I could still go live on mobile back then, and it would cut off, and I would have to go live again. So I would lose some of it on mobile and have to catch it all on audio, but that's beside the point. I think it was episode 16 where I talked about my fast food eating habits. And I said that the reason that I was as big as I was because I would go to fast food places and order like a combo, a large combo, and then like an extra sandwich of something, or two large combos, or just go to Cookout and get like four trays and kill them all in one night. And anyway, I was in episode 16 of the podcast. I was talking about how I had stopped doing that, and I had stopped drinking soft drinks, and I had stopped going to fast food places. And for months, I mean, maybe a year even, maybe more than a year, I got nose hairs tickling the inside of my nose. I got maybe a year even, I got I got food from Walmart every night, or Kroger, or wherever it was I stopped, and I would make food at home. That was my thing. I said I would let myself eat anything I wanted to eat, but I had to cook it at home. Like if I wanted burgers and fries, I had to get burgers. I had to get hamburger meat and potatoes. I had to make burgers and fries at home. And that's aggravating. So I ended up eating simpler stuff, which was basically frozen pizzas, which I guess, or taking baked pizzas from Walmart, which is no better. But I was sticking to my guns. I was like, okay, but I'm just not going to eat any fast food. So ended up Christmas coming around, and I got a few gift cards to fast food places from family, and like, I'm not going to not use them. So I went and used these gift cards and stuff like that. It kind of got me on the wagon. I'm not blaming my family for getting me back into fast food. It was going to happen eventually anyway. So I've said all of that to tell you this, and you can, if you want to go back and check out episode 16, I actually invite you guys, if you haven't heard any of the old episodes, to go back in the YouTube or go back in the audio, even the light episodes before then, and listen to some of the old episodes and just see how far we've come in that amount of time. And by the way, anybody who wants to do the go back and listen to all of the episodes from the beginning, I would love to interview you, whoever you are. If you would go and listen to all of the episodes, I'd love to interview you to see what you have to say about the entire collection, because I'm curious. Anyway, I said all of that to say this. I have recently fallen back into old habits of going to fast food places and ordering way too much food at the end of the night, and eating way too much, and just like, for instance, I would go to Taco Bell and get three steak quesadillas, doubled up steak on all three of the quesadillas, and then like a couple orders of nacho fries and a burrito of some sort. Or I would do the double up thing, and I'm just being honest with you. I don't know why I'm saying this stuff. I'm embarrassed of this, but I would go to cookout. I would get two trays. I'll tell you my order. I'll tell you exactly my order right here. I know it. Big double burger, bacon, cheese, mayo, both sides fries, and a huge tea. And on the next tray, a regular barbecue sandwich, all the way, both sides, chicken quesadilla, and a huge tea. And if I was feeling froggy, I would also order two corn dogs on the side. I didn't do that every time, just sometimes. But I would do that. This damn nose hair is fucking killing me. Ha ha! Got that motherfucker. You see it? I'm sorry, I had to show the camera. That was kind of gross, wasn't it? I'm sorry. The story in the nose hair. But anyway, yeah, I did that. I'm embarrassed of this. I don't know why I'm saying it. I know why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because I'm embarrassed and I know I need to fucking stop. And I'm not going to stop until I put a name to it. I talked about that on the Couch on Fire podcast a while ago, by the way. By the way, I'm going to say this in the intro of this audio as well, but I've forgotten in the video so far, but please go subscribe to Couch on Fire podcast. If you are on YouTube right now, the very last video that I posted that says Couch on Fire in the title, click that. And in the live chat there, I've got links to all of the places where you can download the Couch on Fire podcast. Please go subscribe to those guys. They're doing fantastic work. And I'm embarrassed to say that I was not aware of there being more podcasts in the Myrtle Beach area. But he actually turned me on to a couple more that I didn't know about, so I'm stoked about that, brother Rob. And he hooked me up with that. But that podcast will be dropping next Tuesday. Anyway, I said this earlier in that podcast that I lost my train of thought when I was explaining that. What up, Chief? Dude, I said this in a podcast earlier about The Conjuring 2. Chief, you watched The Conjuring 2? I know you watch scary movies and shit. That's my old roommate Chief in the chat, y'all. I watched The Conjuring 2, and I thought the most powerful part of that movie was the fact that the demon that was like fucking with the girls and shit. The demon that was messing with him, the way you have power over a demon is to say its name, to give it the name. And the demon's name was Valak. So once you give this demon its name, you then can control it and you have power over it. So that's basically what I'm doing. This is something I'm embarrassed of, man. Like, I've used this whole podcast to just air out all my shit, the things that I have to say. And yeah, I know. That was scary the first time I saw it, man. I hadn't seen it in a while, though. But anyway, you remember that part where you know, they say Valak was its name, and the demon just powerless then because it's been called by its name. And that's what I try to do to these things. And I alluded around to that in a podcast I was on today. So, yeah, Couch on Fire, at Couch on Fire on Twitter. Go check those guys out. But I said today the same thing that, you know, it's sort of like if you talk about the things that bother you or the things that you struggle with in your life and you put words behind that, then you sort of give it, you know, you sort of remove its power. So that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I did that, and I've been doing that heavily for like a pretty long time now, and going into fast food things, man. And I got up to like 354. And that's a lot of pounds, man. That's a lot of LBs to be walking around with. And I every single night I would come home, and before I knew it, I would be in my car on the way to whatever drive-through place was still open. And like, not even thinking about it, just kind of being on autopilot. And I did something different a couple of nights ago. And it's something I'm pretty fucking proud of. I got in my car, and I was on my way to go, cookout, Wendy's, or probably cookout. And I got in my car, and I was on the way there. And something just pulled me to the beach. I was like, I don't know what it was. It was just, I was driving and I am one of those people that I'll have a thought and then I'll just have to do that thing. And I was driving and I had this thought and it was just like, go to the beach. Go to the beach instead. Don't go get those unneeded calories that you don't need. You've already had enough food for today. Go to the beach instead. So I did. I went to where I used to always go to the beach. If anybody from me with Garden City knows about Yucca. And I went to Yucca, which is a beach access. And I parked. And I just walked out on the beach and I looked one way and I started walking. There was a meteor shower that night. And I went outside and stood in my parking lot. I'm watching it. It's really dark in my parking lot. I can see a lot of the sky and it's really, really, really cool. And I got this really awesome view of the sky here where I'm at. And I was out driving on the way to Cookout and I was just like, I bet you could see a lot of cool stars. It was a meteor shower. I bet you could see a lot of cool shooting stars at the beach. So I go to the beach and I start walking and I walk one way for a little while and then, excuse me, I turn around and I start looking up and trying to see like stuff. And then I notice that like, oh, there's the pier. I play at the pier. And I was like, okay, cool. I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to walk to the pier. So I turn around, I walk to the pier, and I walked a little bit past the pier, and I looked up and stared at the sky and shit, and then realized that there's people like sitting on the beach in the dark, like kind of watching me like a fucking freak. And I'm like, all right, so I freaked these people out enough, so I guess I'll walk back. So I turn around. And I started walking back, and I am not a water person. I've not really been a water person for a while, and I don't know what it is about it. It scares me for some reason. Like I'm fearful of it. I really am, and I have no problem admitting that I'm scared of something. It's just so weird that I'm scared of that because I don't. Like, I'm not scared of anything, you know, I'm not scared of, like, anything. So, I think, I'm like, why am I scared of this? Why am I so worried about getting in the water? Why am I so worried about getting near the water? Why do I stay away from this, like, the plague? Why do I avoid the ocean and boats and the beach and things like that? Why do I do that? I used to love this. Like, this used to be my shit. I used to do that every day. Every day I used to go to the beach. When I worked at Starbucks, I used to go to the beach on my 30-minute breaks and fill up my Birkenstocks with sand and go back to work just so I would be standing in sand at work. Do y'all know how, like, I almost said a bad word. Do y'all know how crazy that is? That's stupid, man. It's stupid to do that. And I was like, I was making my feet raw. I got blisters on my feet right now, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I did that. I took a picture of the beach, a little video of the beach, and was like, hello, beautiful. And hashtag old friend. Because I used to do that every day, and I just stopped doing that. And I was like, well, it was nice to go to the beach. Like, that was cool. And on the way back, I walked. I walked a little past the pier, and then I turned around and walked back. And what's up, Eve? And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, exercise and shit. But I walked back, and when I got to where my car was, I was turning around. I was on the hard sand, and I was about to turn up to walk towards, you know, walk back towards my car, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. And I turn around and I walk right straight into the ocean, and I walked, you know, about Yeah, congratulations for still being up. I'm still this is my normal operating hours. I'll still be up for a couple more hours. But I wanted to get an episode out because I've been so slack on releasing episodes lately just because my hours have been weird. And I realize that that people don't care about my hours. You guys can listen to this tomorrow, you know, or whenever. But I just walked straight out to the ocean. I walked straight into it, and, like, I got up to my knees in the water just about, and was like, okay, so this is it. This ain't that bad. So I turned around and I walked back to my car. And when I was walking back to my car, I looked down and it was dark, dark as shit. And I saw this little white seashell. And I was like, all right, you know what? I haven't been to the beach in a while. I picked up a little seashell, took it back, put it in my cup holder in my car. My car's dirty as shit. But, and I say my car is dirty as shit because you're like, well, I'll put a dirty seashell in a cup holder. Well, this seashell sand is not going to make a big difference. But I dropped it in there and I was like, that was cool. And I get back home and I take a shower and do some computer work, watch a couple episodes of Kill Tony. Go to bed, get ready for the next day. The next day I get up and pay the rent and planning on going to North Myrtle Beach to pick up an extra check. And by pick up an extra check, I mean just do a gig. Go to North Myrtle Beach and do this gig and, alleviate a little bit of my financial issues right now. Which are, by the way, they're not bad. Like, I've done episodes where I was in dire straits, but we're not there right now. We're close, but we're not quite there. But I did that, and I got like two orders of wings, and came back home and housed literally two orders of wings, and after I got done with that. It was probably around, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. I watched an episode of Kill Tony, and I was sitting here on my ass doing nothing. And I just got this itch. I just got this feeling that I was like, let's go back to the beach. Let's go do that again. Like, I think, and I was like, I think I want to do that again. And see, when I went the first night, I didn't say this. I didn't mention this. I went at about midnight because I'm a night owl. I'm a vampire. I will always be that. So I went in about the middle of the night. I got there at about midnight. And I did the same exact thing again. I had my water jug, walking down the beach with my water jug. And I parked my car in the same exact spot at Yucca, and I walked down on the beach and walked towards the pier, except yesterday I walked a little bit further past the pier. And by the way, from Yucca, the first night from Yucca to a little bit past Yucca, back to a little bit past the pier, back to Yucca, was about 1.2 miles. So from what I can gather, it's a half a mile from Yucca to the pier. So that's a mile there and back. And I'm just using my health thing on my phone. And it's got me, let's see how far I walked tonight. 1.5 miles tonight is where I went today. And that was at 12. That was right after 12 a.m. So I did that. Yeah, right. I'm pretty proud of this, Eve. And I went. I never do shit. I never leave my house. Never. Never leave my house. Never do that. But I went last night, and I, like, 1.2 miles the first night. And 1.3 or one, like, about the same amount of miles the second night. And I grabbed another seashell and I dropped it on top of the other one. And I heard this sound of just like seashells together. and just seashells dropping together. That's just such a pleasing sound. And I wanted, as a musician, I want to hear that again. So I wanted to pick it up. And I got my hand on the seashell and I was like, nope, you don't deserve to hear it yet. I was like strong arming myself. I was like, you have to go back to the beach tomorrow and get another seashell if you want to hear that sound again. Like, if you want to hear that sound again, you're going to have to go back to the beach and you're going to have to walk another mile tomorrow and get you another seashell if you want to hear that. So that's what the fuck I did. I went back tonight and I walked another mile and a half and drove back home. Yeah, they do. And that is so great. Like, and I've just realized it's almost like that's a whole nother, like, I would walk around Walmart in the middle of the night sometimes and probably get like a half a mile or three quarters of a mile in Walmart just walking around. And I would do that three or four times a week. And I would see a lot of the same faces, you know, in there when you go. But I've noticed that I don't necessarily see the same faces on the beach. I've only done it 3 days in a row. But you've always got, like, right when you get close to the pier, there's, like, shore fishermen that are just standing on the shore, like, shore fishing. And this one guy was out there tonight, and I just thought it was awesome. I wanted to take a picture of it, but I didn't want to be that guy. I only took one picture, and it was of the pier. Under the pier. But, this guy had like five poles with like glow in the dark tips. So he would be able to see and he'd be able to see, like, you know, obviously if he caught something. And it was just, that was just so cool to see, like, man, this is what this guy does. And I don't do shit like this, but I'm walking amongst people who do shit like this. And that was interesting for me because I don't feel that. I don't get that a lot. That's not something that I do. And normal people who would see stuff like that all the time would just think, like, that I'm bragging on being able to, what's something that everybody does? Okay, everybody gets out of the driver's side of their car. I do things a lot differently than everybody else. Imagine, hypothetically, that I was someone who would crawl across the seat and get out of the passenger seat of my car every time. And I'm like, dude, it's just so much easier to get out of your driver door. And everybody's like, no shit. Yeah. And it's like, dude, I understand that. But it's not something that I do regularly. I hear you, Eve. I've actually had people, by the way, Adrian, if you see this, I love you, sweetheart. I totally, every time I think about going, I just have to go and get there and get it done. I promise you I'm going to text you one day to meet me there and walk with me. But I'll be out there and I'll be like, I'll be scared. I'll be just trying to run because I got long fucking legs. And I've always, anytime I've ever tried to walk with somebody, they're like, damn, what are you in a hurry for? I'm just, this is just how I walk. I'm sorry. I'm quick. But, yeah, exactly. Right. I was normal there in that moment. Like, right. I was normal for a minute. I was like, this is what people do. Like, it was almost like, when, you know, before, when your imagination, when you were a kid, when you still had your full access to your imagination and you could dress up as something on Halloween and you would leave your house and you would actually think, the people who see me actually think I'm this person. Or like when you were a kid and you got that henna tattoo and you wanted people to think that it was real. And we were walking around with your arm up, you know, showing people, like, you know, these people think this is a real tattoo. And I don't know, man. I felt like that. I felt like I did when I was a kid. I was just like, this is something that normal people do. This is something that, like they think that I'm a normal person. These people think that I'm just like them now. I'm just out here walking on the beach. I'm just a fat dude out here on the beach walking. And I walked past two nights in a row. I walked past the same people sitting in the same spot on the beach, going and coming back. And like, I remember thinking in myself, I'm revealing too much of my thought process right now, but I don't really care because that's what I do. But I remember thinking, these people are going to see me as the person who is out here doing something. And by doing something, I mean doing something about my situation. I'm overweight by a lot, and I really need to do something about that. And I have really, really fallen in love in 3 days with the beach again. And I don't like to go. I haven't fallen in love in daytime now. Don't get me wrong. I am still not good at being in public when there are a lot of people around. And I'm not comfortable enough to test that yet. But in the middle of the night, when I know I can have the beach to myself, for the most part, I really, really dig that. I really love being able to go, just like for the same thing at Walmart. Like, I couldn't do Walmart in the daytime. I couldn't do any, well, and by Walmart, any grocery store, I couldn't do any place like that in the daytime when there's a lot of people there. And, yeah, Eve, it's tough, isn't it, the public deal? But it really is your own private beach. You're right. But, yeah, I have it all to myself. And, like, the first night, I was the only car in the parking lot. I was the only car at the access of Yucca. And last two nights, there were a single car there both times I went. And a couple of people, like, just hanging out on the beach at night. And it was, and by the way, the meteor shower the first night, I didn't see a single meteor on the beach. And, right, if you need nothing, you know, one thing, and you go in there and deal with all those people, I can't do that in the daytime. Nighttime is better for me. But I didn't see a single meteor during the meteor shower the first night that I went out, which was the actual meteor shower. But I've seen one both nights that I've gone, last night and tonight. I saw a meteor clear as day. And the first meteor shower, I saw like four or five out in my parking lot before I went to the beach. Like, I saw one really good one that, like, all the way across the sky. Like, I followed it all the way across the sky with my eyes and watched the whole thing. But then there were a couple more that were just like just like little short and small ones. But both of them that I saw, the one last night and the one tonight, were both like the same one, straight all the way across the sky shooting stars. And that was just interesting for me. I love the sky and stars and stuff. You guys see my telescope back here. I love the sky and love stars. But anywho, Timmy Pierce, there's one for you. And going back to what I said a while ago, and I'll move on with where I was in that story in just a second. About being in the water, the second night I went to the beach, last night, after I walked past the guys fishing, the surf fishing right next to the pier, I walked down to the water line and walked in about ankle deep water all the way back. Like, I just walked in the edge of the water. And I don't do that. That's not me. I don't do that shit. But man, like, it was just so nice to stand next to something that impressive again. Like, I just remember spending so much time out there, and I probably freaked out the people at the beach house next to Yucca whenever I walked up on the steps, because I stood there for a minute. Like, I walked up on the steps, and I'm not going to lie, I cried a little bit. Just not, like, cried, but I teared up just because I used to love that. And it was like, it was almost like seeing a cousin you hadn't seen in a long time. It was like seeing a best friend that you've not seen in so long. And it was like, not just that you haven't seen in a long time, but it was like you did them dirty. Like, you walked away from this person without any kind of explanation or anything like that. Like, you wronged this person, and you see them, and there's just a lot of emotion in that, man. Just like, I walked up onto this beach access, and it was all like, you know, it was, the beach may as well have looked at me and was like, about time, motherfucker, where you been? You know, and I felt like that, and it was emotional, man. And just to stand there with, you know, that kind of weight of something that large in front of you that was both crashing down and lifted off of your shoulders at the same time is just, it was spiritual. It was really spiritual. 1,000%, as I'm saying this, you say that, like a baptism or spiritual cleansing almost, 1,000%. And God, that was just, it was amazing. And I got that feeling. I believe I made up my mind that I was going to do that for as long as I could, consistently and consecutively, for as long as I could, standing on top of that access bridge going across the dunes and such. And it was just awesome. And I hate that usually. I would never have ended up there, you like, under any other circumstances. I was on my way to get 2 cheeseburgers, a barbecue sandwich, 2 corn dogs, 2 chicken quesadillas, and 2 orders of French fries, and 2 large teas. I was on my way to go get that and put that shit in my body that's already 354 pounds. I was on my way to do that. And something steered me towards the ocean. I don't step outside of my normal, I don't step outside of my comfort zone. I don't step outside of what I normally do. I don't do that. That's not my thing. I really appreciate it, Eve. And I hope to God that I do stay on this course. But I really don't feel fearful that I won't. You know, I'll be like, I remember I started doing P90X a few months ago, and I did that shit hardcore every day for 8 days. But I just remembered thinking, this ain't gonna last. This ain't gonna last. I'm not gonna do this again. I might do it tomorrow. I might do it the next day, but this is going to end. I'm not going to do this thing consistently. I don't feel that with this, because it's almost like a project for me. I really like to overcome things, and I have a fear of dealing with people in public. I have a fear with having conversations with people. Which is so weird, because I have conversations here on the podcast, and I had one earlier on another podcast with somebody I didn't know. That's not something I do, man. And I was actually a little I was just a little strange, and I realized that halfway through the interview. Like, and I was just like, I kept saying, wow, I'm sorry. I just went a little dark on this, and I didn't mean to do that. That's how it happened. You know, that's how I am. But I just don't do stuff like that. And I did that. I did something that I don't usually do. And I've done it 3 days in a row now, and I have 3 shells to show for it. And I know that's a corny fucking thing. And I don't care. I don't care. I did that. I took a break today. And by the way, I did go to Arby's today. I did go to Arby's and get a double beef and cheddar sandwich, and that was pretty rewarding. But I ate an apple, ate some mandarin oranges. What else did I eat? Something else from here that was healthy. I remembered it. What was it? Was it a peach? Not a peach. Can't remember. Oh, some cranberries. Craisins. That's what they were. Craisins. That's what I'm thinking, Eve. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a vase, and I'm going to put them all in there and fill them up and like start doing that and like make that my representation, because that makes it visual for me. I realize that now that I can see analytics on my website and on my YouTube channel and things like that, that I'm working more to make the things more enjoyable to watch and more enjoyable to look at and more visually enjoyable. So I feel like visually, if I see this thing just filling up with seashells, that'll just drive me to keep going. And before you know it, you know, that 1 mile, and I set a mental goal that I want to do 10 miles a week. That's rational. That's easy. If I can do, you know, more than a mile a day, then I think that it shouldn't be very hard at all to get into a better body by my birthday, which is October 14th. And I just want to, I don't know, I want to, I don't want to be 300 plus pounds anymore. I want to be less than 300 pounds. I don't care about losing. I don't care about being fit and in shape. I don't want to have to keep buying bigger clothes and shit like that. And I haven't had to buy any bigger clothes in a while, but the clothes that I've got are getting kind of tight and my belly's hanging out of the bottom of my fucking shirts. And it's just not fun. Oh, I know that. And I'm not worried about the number at all. But I don't remember the last time I weighed below 350, and I weighed 348 yesterday, which I weighed and 100%. And I'm tall too. I'm like between 6'2 and 6'3, and I'm a big dude. If I were skinny, people would see me and be like, "Look at that fucking giant." But still, I would be a giant, you know, skinny or not. And plus, I don't know. I don't want to lose a lot of weight, like a lot of weight, because I don't want all the extra skin and stuff like that. I want to like fill that up. But I'd have to be a giant like The Rock with muscles like that dude and Brock Lesnar to fill up all the skin I got now. But that won't happen. Anyway, I just want to feel healthy. I want my clothes to fit me better. I don't want my belly to hang out at the bottom of my shirt anymore. I want to be out the, 100% clothes sizes. That's what I'm going to go by. And the scale that I've got is a piece of shit. And I realized yesterday in trying to use it I'm just wasting time doing that. I'm like, I could get on this thing right now and weigh something and then get off and get back on and the weights are different. So I'm like, this thing's fucking crazy anyway. But yeah, that thing doesn't matter and I don't care. I really just want to overcome my fear of being away from my home. Like being outside of my house and being away from this place. I love this place. I love home. I love everything here. I love to where I've heard Bert Kreischer or Bert's wife, Leanne Kreischer, in her podcast, Wife of the Party, say that Bert he gets anxiety and nervous if he looks around and doesn't see evidence of himself everywhere. And I look around here and I see evidence of me everywhere. And it might be messy even to certain people, but it's not to me because I know exactly where everything is and everything is in its right place. But I'm just comfortable here. But I really want to overcome the fear of not being here. And I've been doing really good about that lately. And I know that because after I had a gig canceled 100 times out of 100, I will walk straight to my car and go straight home and enjoy the rest of my night off. 100%. That's all I want to do is to get out of that danger zone. Yeah, it is. It's pretty organized. But I know I'm going to continue to do this just because I'm a logical thinker. I'm a circumstantial, like, not circumstantial. I take everything into account. I use evidence and make assumptions, and my assumptions are usually correct. I would be a great detective, but I could never be one. I would be a good one, but I wouldn't. And I just, by using the things that I've seen myself do over the last couple of days, something's changing in me. Like, instead of driving straight home after that gig that got canceled, I said, you know what? My friend is playing across the street here. I'm going to walk across the street, sit down at a bar, and listen to my buddy play some music while I wait on a to-go order of food for 20 minutes. And I know that that's not a long time, but that's 20 minutes longer than I would have ever sat in a place that isn't my home outside of staying, like getting paid at a gig for any amount of time. I don't do that, man. I just don't do that. And I did that. And it was just something different about me. Something different about me. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. I don't know what the change is that I don't know what has changed, or I don't know what this difference is, but there's something. And I believe that I may have just right then in real time figured out what it was, which leads me to the next part of this talk here. I have been recording a lot of original music lately. Thank you so much, Eve. I really appreciate your support. I've been recording a lot of original music, and I've released 4 singles over the last couple of weeks. And as of today, as of right before I started recording this, right before I started streaming, I believe I finished recording the album. And I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to be releasing it. It's going to be over the next couple of weeks, maybe the next month even. But yeah, I've just got all of these songs that are extremely personal for me and have carried a lot of weight on the inside, and not on the inside, like I've written them, I've played them, I've written them out, I've got them out, you know, like, and by getting them out, I mean I've written them down, I've gotten them out of my head and on to something else. But I guess they're not really set free until you push them to the next level, which is putting them out into the world for other people to appreciate and to listen to. And I've started doing that with a few songs that I've had, and I got a lot of really, really good feedback off of that. And that has done a lot of positive things for my self-confidence. Not conscience. That's really done a lot of stuff for my self-confidence. And I've gotten a lot of really, really cool compliments on the stuff that I've recorded. And I'm just really, really proud of what I've done. I find it so hard to say that because I don't want it to come across as like braggadocious or conceited or anything like that. I'm very proud of what I've done, and I've waited a really long time. I've waited a really long time to. Thank you so much, Queen. I really appreciate that. I'm just really, really proud of what I've done. Just I've for so long just kind of neglected doing anything for my own, like musically, anything on my own, just because I didn't want to like upset anybody, or I didn't want anybody to think, you know, well, why aren't we doing this with this other thing? You know, why are you doing this on yourself? And I finally just stopped taking that into consideration and realized I can do this thing on my own, and I need to. Like, not that I can or that I should, but that I need to. Like, I've needed to get these things out. And just, I've set a couple of really dark songs free, and the darkest song, and I think it's the darkest one. There could be somebody else that might have a differing opinion of that, but the darkest one that I think I've released, I got a message from some of my musician friends that I really, really respect, asking me if they could cover it. And that is like the highest compliment that I've ever been given on anything that I've written, is that a band that I actually respect and love want to cover one of my songs. And that's just fucking great. And it's the darkest thing that I think I've ever written, man. And I think I've played it on here before. It's called Just Words. I've played that on one of the other episodes, but, and we'll do it. We'll, I don't know how long I've been going for. How long is that? 56 minutes, it says. I was trying to keep this one a little short, but it's me. I'm long-winded, man. I grew up in church. I don't know how to give a short talk, I don't think. But I'll play another one here in a little bit, but, and you're right, Eve, it's not conceited. I guess it's convinced. It's just, it's not that it's conceited, I think, as much as it is like, I'm proud of this as I would be a child, you know, that I've sent out into the world to become, I've trained you, I've raised you, and now I'm sending you out into the world to be your own thing. And, that's the only way I can equate it to, is that these songs are my children. You know, I don't have a legacy, a human legacy to leave behind like a lot of my friends do. I don't have that. What I do have is a very particular set of skills. Just kidding. What I do have is a songbook of beautiful songs that I think are beautiful, that I love, like, they're the most precious thing to me. As a child is the most precious thing to most parents, these songs are the most precious thing. They're my most prized possession. And I don't like to share. Historically, I don't like to share. I remember I had a flashback the other day, almost called my brother and apologized to him. But if he hears this, he'll hear me say, sorry, dude. I remember one time I got a bunch of Christmas presents and shit like that. My brother was trying to play with some of my toys, and I was just like fucking being a little cunt and not letting him play with any of the toys. I was just being a dick and just not wanting to share. And my stepdad being like, you know, you got to share sometimes. It's not, you know, you don't want to, but you're going to have. And I just remember nothing to do with that. And I don't like to share things, and these are my most prized possessions. And I've thrown them out into the world. And by the way, a lot of people, I'll revert back to this episode a lot for folks who ever ask me about, well, you know, you didn't want to go a little further with it or do a little bit more work. You know, you most of these are just guitar and voice. And no, I didn't. I've recorded these songs the way that I think they need to be recorded. And that's that. I recorded these songs the way that I think they need to go, and that's how I feel about it. And some of these songs are so personal that I don't want any lead guitar, any harmony line, or any drums or bass, or any extra instruments to get in the way of the story. And that's important to me. The most important part, as a matter of fact, is the story for me. That's the most important part, is easily the story. And I, some of these songs, the story, and the story alone is enough. It doesn't need a harmony line. It doesn't need a lead guitar. It doesn't need any extra tracks. Sometimes the story is enough. And I left most of the songs like that because this is a singer-songwriter album. There's not going to be, I don't think, any percussion on any of these songs. I don't think there's going to be any bass. This album, in most part, is going to be... What's up, Drongo? Out in Australia? What's going on in Australia? But yeah, I don't think any of these songs that are going to be on this album are going to be anything other than acoustic guitar and voice. And there may be a lead track on some of them where I'll play a lead on top of a strum track or a finger picking track. And there may be a harmony track on top of my melody, but that'll be it. And if I throw in like some random sounds of holes being dug or waves in the background or a storm in the background or lightning, a thunderstorm or something like that, then there's some songs have that. So I've thrown some of that in there. I hear you. What's the temperature there in Australia? It's actually been cool here over the last couple of days, but it's about to be warming up again. Appreciate you stopping by here. It's like the Bible. It's set words mean different things at different times for people in different situations. The same with your songs. They're perfect because they're truth, feelings, experiences. Absolutely, Eve. That's very well put. And that's very true about the Bible. It does mean different things at different times for people. It really does. Depending on where you're at in life, one thing can mean 10 different things throughout the course of your life. But 100% will mean different things at different times in life. And a lot of people ask also why I'm not more specific in songs. Like, why, you know, like a lot of people ask, why don't you put a name to this? Why don't you just, you know, I have a song called Tell Me Darling. And people want to put a name to it because, one, they want to know who you're singing about. And the answer to that is, I don't know who I'm singing about. It could be anybody. It could be anything. And I don't want to confine it to one time period. I want this thing to be able to be heard in 50 years. And it could be about somebody who this person is thinking about in their lives, you know. I don't want to limit the story. And I think that giving... almost like some of those movies that just end in a weird way and like Sopranos that you can guess what's happening, you know, that you don't want to limit the story to one thing. You want the story to be able to, you know, be talked about and discussed. And what do you think this means? And that's the kind of conversation that I want to start around the music that I'm making with this solo album. And yeah, I'm talking about me a lot, but who cares? Ooh, yikes. Drongo, a few of them are on my YouTube topic channel. Let me find this. And let me get the YouTube here, and I'll give you guys a link to it. Right on. I'm actually gonna, and it's gonna cost some money. I'm gonna have to start saving saving all the dollars, but I'm hoping, hugely hoping, to. Get vinyl. I really want to put these things on vinyl. Okay. The four singles that I released already on the chat, the link that I just posted in the chat there, you can find four of the... And I said 14 earlier. I think it's 13. Maybe, because I might have cut a couple out of here that I don't want to put on anymore.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
12 songs. So that is a third of the entire album. That is 4 of the 12 songs that'll be on the record. And that channel, if you guys want to subscribe to that topic channel, you can. I'm not in charge of that. I'm not running that channel. That is run by my distribution company, the company that I've uploaded my albums through, my songs through. And I really appreciate that, Drongo. Thanks, man. Estrella. I'll say Estrella all the time when anybody's talking about Australia or something like that, and nobody gets what I'm saying. I'm glad. I think that I said that one time in Jamie's chat, and he didn't know what I was. He didn't know what was up. But anyway, that's beside the point. Yeah, like I said, I'm going through the process right now of claiming this channel on my own channel, so that hopefully one day it'll all be on the same channel, which will give me the channel I'm streaming on right now, my podcast channel, an official artist channel. So I'm really hoping that will one day be a reality. So until then, this is where those videos will be uploaded. And until I upload the full album, these four are going to be the only ones that are there. But I'll tell you what, I've talked about it. Let's pick one off of the list here to play. I played a couple of them earlier. I think I played I Haven't Been Right Since You Left. And one of them, shit, I can't remember. Let's see. Let's go in here and find. I'll let you guys pick. So I've got a really personal song about my dad. I got a couple of songs about my dad. Like there's two songs about my dad. King. My King's Wisdom. I got a song called My King's Wisdom. I don't know if that's what you were alluding to, or if it's just by random happenstance that you did that. Or was that the one that I played earlier, Eve? I think that might have been the one that I played earlier. Drongo, I write poetry, and then I put music to it. I wrote this thing on the beach a while ago. It's not at all. Okay, so yeah, I played that one earlier. So I wrote this thing earlier. I was walking on the beach, and I was like looking off in the distance, and I was thinking, you know, I'm gonna walk from. You know, when I got past the pier, I was looking at hotel buildings like, okay, these are my goals. I want to be able to one day be able to park at the thing. Oh, thanks so much, Benson. Yeah, man, that's one of my favorites. But I was looking at hotels and I was like, okay, I'm going to walk to that building. And then I was looking at like a flashing light way down the beach, and I was like, that's got to be 2 miles down the beach. And I was like, you know, one day I want to be able to walk there, and I want to be able to make it there. So I started thinking, like, you know, I just kind of started wandering out of my house, you know, in this daze going to get my nightly fill of shit food. And I ended up wandering to the beach. So I wrote this thing a while ago. And sometimes they just show up and words just fit and just rhyme. And you don't really have to put any effort into it at all, which is really nice. And that's kind of how this went. But I wrote, I figured I could wander and just might end up over yonder. Until this day, I've been happy with looking from here. A life of pleasure I have squandered, never even stopped to ponder how easy it ends up being to end up here. So, how did I do it? I figured I could wander and just might end up over yonder. Until this day, I've been happy with looking from here. A life of pleasure I have squandered, never even stopped to ponder how easy it ended up being to end up here. And I wrote that, and that, it'll probably stay that. That will probably stay that. Just sometimes they turn into a song. Most of the time, if I write just a little block like that, they just stay that. But yeah, I played My King's Wisdom earlier. So I think let's do a little Plenty Well. I recorded a new version of this song. I'm going to mute my mic and just let this song play. It's kind of a short one. This song is about the news. There's nothing in the song about news, but it's about the news. It's about people used to be content with the truth. It might not have tasted as, you know, easy to swallow as something that's, you know, catered to your beliefs like the news networks are today, but it was the truth, and that's what we had, and we all dealt with it. And I equated the truth to folks having to go to a well to draw the water, you know. You know, now we are content with lies, 100%. And I equate that to a new well, like the lies are a new well that has been dug that people are, you know, freaking out over just because it's new. And, you know, the truth, which is the old well, when we used to have to walk through the woods to get to the good artesian well. I don't know if you guys have, Drongo, do you guys have natural wells in Australia where you are, Eve? Do you have any natural wells anywhere around where you can go and just like it's constantly running flow of water? It's usually just a pipe coming out of the ground. We have those down here, and there's some that still, you know, are still very good, like natural artisan, artesian, however you want to describe, however you want to say it. There's just a lot of those around here, and I thought, yeah, natural spring wells, exactly. And I thought about that, man. You know, that was the only way people used to have to go get the best water. God, it was so good. Tasty water, 100%. But that was the way people used to have to get water. Before they had water in their house, like indoor plumbing and things. Really, that's so awesome, Eve. That's so badass. But, like, that's the way people used to do that. So I wrote this song and it equated it to the news and truth, and the truth being the old well and the lies and just the sugar-coated stories that are being pushed on us today on the news networks being the new well. So that's where this song comes from. This song is called Plenty Well.
I envy bad the woods from within which flows the stream the old folks say they used to draw their water from. Didn't taste the same as others, but it was one they'd grown to love, and the urn for what it held, it was a thirsty one. I remember my granddaddy harped until the day he died, said the world it ain't no count no more since Plenty Well ran dry. They don't care much for knowing, just for staying occupied, but I reckon that's the reason it ran dry. But I reckon that's the reason it ran dry. Soon folks around got talking and they put a paved road in. It led around the old woods, that was something way back then. A new well had been dug, but the water was not the same. Soon that wooded path we'd worn no longer pointed towards the way. said they drink their water, but it won't do them no good. It'll kill the thirst for now, but not like ours would. Before too long, I reckon that new well is gonna show. Then, boy, where you think they're gonna go? Then, boy, where you think they're gonna go? Plenty well, they called it, and that sticks with me the most. I learned half as much from him alive as I have now from his ghost. And one thing that I'm proud to say is he's still part of me. And I know that well is new, but I also know the water ain't clean. Remember my granddaddy harped until the day he died. Said the world it ain't no count no more since plenty well ran dry. They don't care much for knowing, just for staying occupied. But I reckon that's the reason it ran dry. Yeah, I reckon that's the reason it ran dry.
That one's called Plenty Well. Thanks, Drongo. Thanks, Eve. Appreciate it, guys. So yeah, and the reason I said what I said earlier about people will be like, well, you know, you might have could have done a little better with that if you'd have took a little more time, or you know, if you'd have went somewhere to record it. And to be honest with you, I just did not want any of that stuff to get in the way of the song. Like, I didn't want me to get in the way of I really appreciate it, Drunger. Thank you. I really didn't want to get in the way of the song. I didn't want to get in the way of the song. I wanted to let the song be its own thing. And basically, like, I learned half as much from him alive as I have now from his ghost, meaning that, like, my granddad taught me a lot of stuff while I was alive, but after him being gone and just having memories of him, and I've learned so much more from the memories of those people that I've gone on, the people that I've lost. I've learned so much more from those folks, from them after they've gone, than I did while they were with me, you know, while I was actually there to learn from them. And I think that a lot of people can, if you think hard enough, you'll probably feel the same way. Yeah, let it speak for itself, and it does, exactly. Like the finger picking isn't perfect, the vocals aren't perfect, but I'm not perfect. Who gives a shit? It's right on. That's so awesome, man. That's exactly what I wanted to accomplish. I want people to be able to hear this and like relate to it on a personal level. And you know, I just that's my dream, because I do that with songs. You know, I listen to them and I relate to them on a personal level, and I love that feeling more than just about any other feeling I've ever felt. And I to be able to give someone else a shot at having that feeling, giving someone else a shot at having that feeling, I can't, you know, turn away from that. So I wrote a song for my young niece, for my newborn niece, young Caroline. I wrote a song for her. She has, Eve, do you remember the episode about my Aunt Marie? Drago, I'm not sure if you were hanging out back then, but I did an episode about my Aunt Marie where I just talked about how much I loved her and how great of a person she was and how influential she was in my life. And, my baby sister, her middle name is Marie, and she had a daughter recently and gave her the middle name of Marie. And I only tell you that because there's a verse in this song that alludes to that. And if you don't know that part of the story, that might not make so much sense. So, my Aunt Marie was just actually it tells its own story. But I wrote this song for my dad. Actually, my dad gave me the And I really appreciate you hanging out, Drongo. Thank you so much for being here, noobs. You're not a noobs. You've been here long enough, man. But my dad called me with an idea. He said, you know, just like he was probably heartbroken. You know, he lost his mom, recently in recent history, being like the past few years. And, you know, his dad and mom are both gone, and his sister, my Aunt Marie, God rest her soul, she's gone as well. So there's been a lot of loss in our family over the last few years. And my dad said, you know, just a hole left in his heart from all of those losses that he's had was filled by this tiny little baby. You know, this little baby who came into this world filled a giant hole left in his heart. And I thought that was beautiful. And he said, if I had a way to put this in a song, I would. He said, I just can't do it. He said, he told me, he was like, I can't write. And he said, if I could write, I would put this in a song. And so I gave my dad the assist on this one. And so my dad helped me out with this one a little bit. And I have this, I really do. I don't reference modern things in lyrics. I try not to reference like phones or television or anything modern or anything like that. I want the song that if I were to have released it 100 years ago, that it would still be relevant. So I sort of try to do that in songs, but I explain in this song because I have to give an explanation for why I do something that I never do. And I do that in this song. So this one is called Young Caroline, and I'll play this one, and I'll do one more, and then we're going to call this a night. I know it's getting kind of late, but just we'll do this song and a little bit more of a chat, and then one more very personal song, and then we'll call it an evening. But this one is called Young Caroline. I feel kind of bad. I told my dad that I was like, you know, I might put this one on an album, but I think this song's going to mean a lot more to us than it does other people. So let me know if I was right on that. If you guys get this, then I was wrong, and I have no problem being wrong. I just felt like this would be more of a personal family thing that we would appreciate than not a lot of other people would appreciate. But if you can relate, let me know. This is Young Caroline. Or which one? Which one do I want to do? I have two of them here. Why do I have two of them? Okay, 1718. Let's play that one.
Let me tell you a little about your name. It's important you remember every word. It'll comfort you when sad and help you through when times are bad. Now listen, girl, and keep this in your heart. It says despite wherever you may go, carry with you a little bit of home. Something sacred's in control, a quick reminder for your soul. It's a promise that you'll never be alone. It's the first thing that is yours, something given upon birth. Try not to make your mama say it mad. It's a warmth for when you're cold, a memory for when you're old. Keep it safe now, young Caroline. Let me tell you about my Aunt Marie. It's your mama's middle name and yours too. She was the best the world had known till God the Father called her home. She sure would have fell in love with you. There's a name that you'll keep until you marry. When you finally someone that you love. Just stay patient until the end and find a lifelong best friend. And always remember where you're from. It's the first thing that is yours, something given upon birth. Try not to make your daddy say it mad. It's warm for when you're cold, a memory for when you're old. Keep it safe now, young Caroline. And I never reference modern things in lyrics, and I've got a set of rules for writing songs. I stick to them and stay true, but I break my rules for you. I had me a little help pulling this off. Your grandpa called me up with an idea, and he wished that he could put it in a song. He said he wouldn't know where to start, but you filled a hole inside his heart, left by all those gone on before. So now here's a little piece of me for you. I can't promise you I'll always be around, but just know that you're with me, matter not where I may be. It's important that you know how much you're loved. This is the first song that is yours, something written from my heart, and I'm crying like a child over these words. If you're ever feeling down, remember your name is your crown. Keep it safe now, young Caroline. If something ever makes you blue, know I'll be right there for you. We'll keep you safe now, young Caroline.
That one's called Young Caroline. That, my dad called me and put the bug in my ear about that idea for that song. So I even wrote that in there. I was like, you know, my dad, you know, your grandpa called me up. This is just basically like that was for her. Thank you so much, Eve. I'm really glad to hear that. I was worried about that. I was worried that it would just be too personal for us. Like, it would just be something that's extremely personal for our family, but it wouldn't, you know, mean that much to other folks. But I don't know. I you know why I really did it is because... I'm sitting here about to cry thinking about this song that I love and this child. But the real reason that I wrote a song called Young Caroline is so that I wouldn't have to learn Sweet Caroline. Unfortunately, there's a little truth to that, but not really. There's kind of, you know, maybe. But anyway, yeah, I know. Like I said, we're getting up to around that hour and a half mark. So I want to do just one more quick one. The story behind this one. This one's called Family Business. So my dad has a heating and air business that he inherited from my granddad. And thanks, Drongo. And he inherited this business from my granddad. And after my grandmother passed away, my granny, she was my rock, man. Like, she was, I was, you know, my mom left me and my dad when I was really young. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, you know, at a young age. They watched me a lot and I stayed with them a lot. So that was the house I was most comfortable in. So I ended up wanting to live with them. And, you know, my dad was there, oh yeah, 100% Eve. Yeah, and I love those. I love those old Kenny Chesney songs like that. That was a clever that song in particular. What was it called? I Go Back, or that song. That was a really cleverly written song. But yeah, I live with my grandparents basically because my dad was up there every day. My grandparents' house was like the hub for everybody. Everybody was there every day. And, you know, come nighttime, the only difference was I was around them all, you know, my dad every day. But the only difference was when it came time to go to bed, I would, you know, stay with my grandparents and they would go home. So my granny was my rock, man. She was the last one that was there. You know, she was the last one living out of, there were four of us that lived in the house I grew up in. My grandmother, my grandpa, and my Aunt Marie. We all lived together in the same house, and I'm the only one left. Both my grandparents and my Aunt Marie have all passed on, and I'm the only one left out of the house I grew up in. And, once she passed away, I went through a dark phase and lost a lot of who I was in a way, and had to relearn how to live and stuff like that. So I went back home. I told my dad I would, you know, come back home and I would start working for him. I would go back home and I would start working at the heating and air business. You know, I was like, kind of want to make Pa proud. You know, I feel like he would have wanted me to do this. And I tried, you know, I worked with my dad for a couple weeks or whatever. And it just didn't work out. I'm not good at work. I'm just not. Now I could laugh about it and it is kind of funny to say, but I'm not good at that. That's not what I'm good at. But I had this thought, you know, that people in our family had been playing music for a lot longer than they had been fixing, you know, units. And I told my dad that. I was like, you know, I feel like my dad had a heart to heart with me one day. And he, I told him, I was like, man, I'm doing this work. I'm working with you because I feel like it's the right thing to do. And I feel like I need to. And, that's the reason. Like, I'm just not good at this, man. I'm just not good at this. I was like, the only thing that I'm good at is music. And I was like, if I do that, if I keep playing music, then I'm carrying on the family business. You know, that is the family business. It was that. We were musicians before we were, you know, tradesmen. You know, that's what we were in our family. We were musicians before we were anything else. And that goes back for generations in my family. That's what we are. And we had a heart to heart. And like my dad, the strongest man I've ever known, because he sat next to me in his truck just driving around Bennettsville with me crying like a fucking baby. And just crying like a baby. And he just drove around until I pulled myself together. And I agree, Drongo, got to carry on the tradition. And he drove around until, you know, I pulled myself together and we went home. And we had a talk later and he was just like, you know, just you were doing what you've meant to do. And he's made it a point to tell me that every time we've ever been alone together. He's always made it a point to tell me that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, that I'm doing, like, you're doing the right thing. You've heard your calling and you've answered it. And he's made it a point to tell me that, which is a huge thing. You know, every son wants to make his proud dad or dad proud. Every son wants to make his dad proud. And, maybe every son doesn't want to make their dad. I want to make my dad proud. I've always wanted to make my dad proud. And he never lets the moment slip away when he could have said that. He always says that. He always says the right thing. But anyway, I'm going to do this one called Family Business, and then we're going to take a nap. Yeah, right. It's a huge deal to get that. It's a huge deal to get that blessing from, you know, somebody who you've looked up to. You heard my king's wisdom, man. My dad's a king. I've looked at him like that, you know, for the majority of my life. I've looked at my dad like that. to where he is the king, and I'm the prince. This to carry on the name. You know, that's my thing, which I will do one day. You know, I'll find the right woman and I'll carry on the name, and I'll do as good of a job as he has taught me to do. And where the fuck is this coming from? Shit, I'm just going to play this song before I just talk myself into a relationship or something. What's wrong with me? Anyway, this song is called Simply Family Business.
Coming down Jennings Street, and then I broke down crying harder than I ever had. I'd held it in for far too long. It'd been a while since I'd been home, and I poured out all my pain for him to hear. Said I'm working for you now, 'cause I guess I have to, and I wanna do something to make my grandpa proud. Thought that's what he would have done, just wanted to be a better son. I just ain't no damn count at working hard. But he held it all together, just drove around till I felt better. I never told him how much all that meant. There's not much that you can say when a grown man cries in pain. Our rugged hearts don't break no more, just bend. Said I feel like it's my job to pick up the business. Next in line, and hell, it's my last name. I could try all that I want, but I'm the worst at being taught. It was clear that it just was not in my stars. I told him that our family been making music long before we started fixing heat and air. So if I picked up my guitar and played in the honky-tonks and bars, I'd inherit the family business after all. And he held it all together, just drove around till I felt better. I never told him how much all that meant. But there's not much that you can say when a grown man cries in pain. Our rugged hearts don't break no more, just bend. After I lost my granny, which means that my daddy had just lost his mom. It was the first time that I'd cried since I found out that she died, and I kept it all locked in real good till then. There's a silence when a grown man gets done crying, and I'll never know how daddy stayed so strong. When he got back home and he was somewhere all alone, but he never let it show in front of me. He just held it all together, drove around till I felt better, and I never told him how much all that meant. There's not much that you can say when a grown man cries in pain. Our rugged hearts don't break, they only bend. Yeah, he held it all together, just let me go till I felt better. and I never told him how much all that meant. So I'm saying all this now that I'm so much more than proud that the good Lord blessed me with a heart like his.
That one's called Family Business there. Yep. Little Family Business. I took it over after all. Yeah, so, right. Never ever. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. That's exactly how I feel, man. My dad, like, I've seen my dad cry a bunch, actually, you know, just growing up in church and going to revivals and stuff like that. Curse away. I appreciate the honesty. Thank you so much. I really, really, really appreciate it. Yeah, I just... I have a really hard time Yeah, I really appreciate that, Eve. I have a really hard time saying exactly what I mean. I'm one of those people who wants people to kind of figure out what I'm saying, and songs just sort of cater to that for me. I want people to figure out what I'm trying to say, and in a way, that's sort of how I select people to be around me. Those are how I select those who are closest to me, as those who put the puzzle pieces together the best. So I think songs kind of cater to that. They let me speak so vaguely in a way to where I can, you know, I can, they let me, I give a listener, and I know this is just me talking about myself some more narcissistically, and I'm sorry, but I like to give people puzzle pieces to put together and figure out what they mean. The only thing is, they can fit all together and be in the wrong spot, but still look like a perfect square. Yeah, I really am on a journey right now. I'm trying to keep it going. And just like I say, sometimes I really do just want to say exactly what I mean. Like that last song, Family Business, I didn't even try to rhyme it. I just wrote down what I felt. I wrote down exactly how I felt. And that's an Avett Brothers trick. Like some older Avett Brothers song is like, songs are where, you know, like you can say that. You can say exactly what you mean in a song. Like you don't have to speak in riddles like most songwriters do. You can actually say what you mean. And I did that. And even in this Young Caroline song, I didn't rhyme a lot in that one. I just kind of, you know, I wrote what I wanted to say and that, you know. I get that, Drongo. I have to call it out on myself, because anytime I hear myself say something that I'm like, oh, that's a little narcissistic, I know that there's somebody out in the world that'll hear that and be like, that sounds kind of narcissistic. So if they hear me call myself out for it, I beat them to the punch, you know? Oh, yeah, 100%. I get you. But yeah, I don't know. Like that one, I just wanted to say specific things, and I was actually not sure if I was even going to put those songs on the record. I was kind of just going to do a family album and call it the family album, like a picture album, you know, but call it the family album and just do like a bunch of family songs. But these songs are good, and I'm doing a solo album now, and they're kind of like, you know, this whole thing is kind of like a family album. All the family that lives in my head. Crazy people. So, yeah, I've played, and there's a song called America that I've got that I've played a lot on this podcast before. And America is the one that I'm snubbing from this album because, one, it's already on a Cornbread EP, the band that I'm with, and I don't want to, like, double dip too much. I've already done that with It Ain't Mine. But It Ain't Mine is something that's so personal, I had to do that with this record, too. So I recorded a completely new version of it, and I did that. So I got that one, and there's one... There's only two songs that's left off the album that hasn't been played on this YouTube channel in some way. So we're going to get to those over the next couple of days. But until then, I've kept you guys for far too long already. And I really, really, really appreciate you guys. Eve and Drongo, I really appreciate you guys for hanging out with me this whole time and giving me somebody to talk to while I've bragged about these songs and the new changes that I'm trying to make in my life. And pray for me if you pray. Send me good vibes if you do good vibes. Rub a rock for me. Hold some crystals in your palm for me. Do whatever it is that you do. Send good vibes my way that I'll stay on this course that I'm on right now. So no worries. No worries, Drongo. I appreciate you stopping by anytime. And maybe some of these middle-of-the-night episodes will come more often than not. I know that being in Australia, this is probably a better time for you. And I've got a couple of more folks in that part of the world that I would like to also, you know, cater to in a way, if you will. So, but anyway, guys, please go to mistuffpodcast.com. Please go to the YouTube channel if you are listening on audio right now. Please go to YouTube and click subscribe on MI Stuff Podcast by Kelsey Hudgens. I will say again, I was just did an interview on Couch on Fire Podcast at Couch on Fire on Twitter. And on their pinned tweet on their Twitter page, you can find links to all of the places where you can download that podcast and subscribe to them. So you'll catch my episode when it comes out next Tuesday where he interviewed me. And it was a pretty good episode. I went a little dark and got a little deep in certain points, and we went over that and stuff. But anyway, that's going to be out next Tuesday, so please stay in the loop for that. Subscribe to that channel. And they're also on YouTube, Couch on Fire Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to them. But yeah, everything else is on mistuffpodcast.com. Please do that. Go to the music section, the about music section on mistuffpodcast.com. There's links there on where to download each of the singles that I've released so far. Also in the YouTube live chat for this video, there is a link to the YouTube channel that has all the videos for those songs. You can check them out on YouTube for free if you want to take it for a test drive first. By all means, do that. And I'm going to be promoting the album that's coming up soon. Tyler Brown's already working on album art for me. And there's that. Also, I got a P.O. box today. If any of you guys want to send me any cool shit in the mail, send it to P.O. Box 1861, Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, 29576. P.O. Box 1861, Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, 29576. I don't care what it is. I got a P.O. box now. I had to do that so that I don't want to be giving out my house address for when I'm trying to advertise on the podcast. And I have to have a hard address to where people can send like samples and things for sponsorships. So there's that. That's already too much information. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. MIStuffPodcast.com, ScrewballWhiskey.com. Thanks to our sponsors at Screwball Whiskey, SKREWBallWhiskey.com. No problem, Drongo. And this is not necessary at all. It's not necessary at all to donate or anything like that. I do have a tip jar on the website that it even says that on the thing, that they're appreciated, not necessary. Your good vibes and hanging out with me and your kind words are plenty. Thank you so much for that. That means more to me than any donation or anything ever could. So just know that. Keep that in mind. But anyway, yeah. MIStuffPodcast.com, ScrewballWhiskey.com, SKREWBallWhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here, Screwball Whiskey Studios. Thank y'all so much for being here. I love you. I mean it. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Click the links in the center of the page and at the top of the page. Be good people. I love you. Peace, bitches.